to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hour two. And we got Tommy Attaway from Freedom Texas, freedomtexas.org. Go over there, have a look. They want a free and independent Texas, and man, I totally support that. Hey, Tommy, I asked you the $10,000 question. You know, how did they fit? How did they fit Texas, the Republic of Texas, an independent nation, into the Republic of the United States? You know, how did
Now we're going to get to that story, and it's a fascinating one.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so 3 weeks after the vote on the Treaty of Annexation fails in the United States Senate, it now makes the papers in the United States that Texas and Great Britain had been negotiating for an alliance. And this unhinges the United States politically because of the following problem. The border between Canada, which belongs to Great Britain, and the United States had not been defined yet. And, of course, the northern border of Texas stretches into what is now Wyoming, which is claimed by the Republic of Texas. And so the fear in the United States is that Great Britain and Texas would recognize each other's territorial claims and cut off the United States from expansion to the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
So this unhinges politics in the United States because politics in the United States is based on expanding to the Pacific.
What year was that?
This is the 1844 presidential election.
Okay. I was just trying to figure out. Go ahead.
Yeah. So what happens is John Tyler, who was the president, wasn't liked by everybody else in the Whig Party, and Henry Clay decides to challenge John Tyler for the party nomination for president for 1844. On the other side, Martin Van Buren had been unelected in 1840, and he wanted to come back in 1844. And he promised, and he and Henry Clay made a deal that they would not bring up Texas in the 1844 presidential campaign because it was going to be too divisive. However, Van Buren did not get the nomination from the Democratic Party. Instead, it went to James K. Polk. And Polk went on the platform of Oregon and Texas. Henry Clay kept to his original deal and said, well, it's not time, the time is not right to expand to Texas and Oregon yet. So Polk wins the election, and Tyler is extremely mad because now somebody else is going to get credit for expanding the United States. So Tyler determines that he is going to get the deal done with Texas before he leaves office in March of 1845. Yeah. So Tyler engineers what's called a joint resolution of Congress, and that Texas would be able to join the United States if the following conditions were met. Condition number one is that the Republic of Texas would vote to organize itself into an independent state. Condition number two is that the independent state of Texas, if it decided to join the United States, would be entitled to representation as a state in the Congress, and Texas would be allowed to perpetuate slavery. Condition number three is that the debt of the Republic of Texas would be assumed by the state of Texas. And condition number four is that if at some point in the future Texas decided it could divide itself into as many as five states, however, slavery would be prohibited north of the Missouri Compromise line.
Hmm.
That deal passes the U.S. House, and it is sent to the Senate, where it results in a tied vote. Because there's no vice president at this time, because the vice president had died and Tyler had gone from vice president to president, the deal would have died, except that the pressure was put on Senator Johnson of Louisiana to change his vote from no to yes. So the joint resolution passes the United States Congress and is signed by President Tyler and is then presented to J. Pinckney Henderson, the ambassador of the Republic of Texas, and said, if Texas, you know, wants to do this, the United States would then agree to Texas joining the Union as a state. So this went back to the Republic of Texas. The Republic of Texas formed a convention to write a state constitution, presented a referendum to the citizens of the Republic of Texas. They approved it. And then in March of 1845, presented the results to the United States and said, yes, Texas agrees to join the United States as a state.
And there you go.
Tommy, I have a question. The gentleman who's doing the history in the Republic of Texas that exists now said there was something to do with two treaties back then, and because one was violated, they didn't feel that you had to do anything except acknowledge that. And secondly, I saw something years ago where Sam Houston told his Secretary of State at that time, and I don't remember who it was, go to the United States, they're going to make an offer, turn down the first one, and then we'll accept the second one when we get a few more things.
That may have been the Houston strategy, but it was unsuccessful. Because what happened is, in the whole scheme of things in the United States, the Democratic Party, Van Buren, was an abolitionist and hated Houston, so he wanted to have nothing to do with Texas. So that blocked any accession, anything from happening from 1836 to 1840. 1840, John Tyler, once he becomes president on the death of Henry Harrison, is pro-Texas annexation, but his Secretary of State is an old line Whig and an abolitionist and doesn't want Texas part of the Union, so he refuses to negotiate any sort of treaty that would be acceptable to Texas. That guy dies in an explosion on a Navy frigate in January of 1844, and then John C. Calhoun becomes Secretary of State. And John C. Calhoun insists on bringing Texas into the United States and will give whatever favorable terms Texas wants, and under the motto, Texas or Disunion. And that results in the treaty, which is rejected by the U.S. Senate 2-1, because they thought it was too favorable to Texas.
Man, I know we can do a whole show on just this little portion, because there's so many details. I'm sure you have. But let's go to where we need to go. Tommy,
right. We're
here today. We're here in this place, you know, you can be Republic of Texas, and we're in an occupied nation, right? We're in Texas, the Republic of Texas occupied. We're in a state called Texas, United States of America, or whatever. What do we do? I mean, everything's spinning out of control, Tommy. How do we address this?
The central government, the central problem that we have is that we're kind of back in the situation where we were in March of 1836 with the Texas Declaration of Independence, you know, where it talks about the purpose of a government is to protect the rights of the people, and when a federated Republican government, you know, no longer does that because it's essentially destroyed its own constitution, well, guess what happens after then if the people want to be free? So the question is, you know, how to do this, how to reestablish freedom and independence and do it successfully. And so what you've got in my book is another approach to the problem with a kind of different solution that says, okay, we start over locally and expand out from there, that trying to get a change done from the top politically that would then filter down into greater freedom and liberty for the population is probably not going to work, because it ultimately depends on getting those governments to recognize that they've done the wrong thing, rather than having to recognize the facts on the ground of the people are, in fact, independent and capable of enforcing that independence.
In other words, you need the numbers to be able to start from the bottom and work your way up. You need the numbers of the people that realize what's going on, that don't like it, that want to do something about it.
Yeah, and what I'm arguing in the book is that one possible approach is that if you do it county by county and go rural, you don't need a significant number to begin with, but once you demonstrate the proof of the concept and that it works, people will then see the economic opportunity and jump on board.
Okay. 1-800-313-9443. County by county. That's an interesting thing. I live in Fredericksburg, Texas, and you know, I've got my dear friends around me that have, you know, like-minded thoughts, and a lot of the people are really keen to a free and independent Texas. But when we go county by county, of course, we have the Fredericksburg Tea Party, and these folks are really focused on freedom and liberty and trying to get back to our Constitution. But they're facing the system, the democratic system, which seems to be all kind of, well, I don't know. It doesn't seem to be fair. Maybe it's controlled. I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in the electoral system, county by county, person by person, neighbors and friends. I get it. But I'd love to elect a city council or a county commissioners, you know, that would be for freedom and liberty. But I don't know how to do that, man. I don't know how to do that.
Okay. What I did was I used, as an example in the book, a very small county, Borden County, that has less than 1,000 population.
Okay.
And looking at the election demographics in Borden County, it votes between 70% and 80% Republican. Okay. So far, so good.
Okay.
So that tells you that, and then how many people vote in the Republican primary? Oh, less than 100.
Huh. Okay.
So, that tells me that 150 people voting the way that we'd like for them to vote in the Republican primary will essentially get those office holders in all of the county government positions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That doesn't seem so unrealistic to me.
No, it doesn't. And I've heard that argument before, and maybe it was founded in your thoughts. But here's my problem with it. If there's a county with 1,000 people and I want to promote freedom and independence, I'd have to up my life and move out to that and start anew to try to get the embers, the flames of liberty going in this little tiny county. And
right. And there's been several attempts for people to try and persuade people to do that. And they've all failed for that very reason. You know, once you have an established life and lifestyle, it's very difficult to uproot and move. And so what I'm suggesting is a different approach based on what I call an economic model, which says what I need to talk to are some small business owners that really need a low regulatory environment, you know, things like no zoning, no building codes, know, stuff like that, which will get a lot of regulation off of their back, and say, you know, if you started a business there and hired people who we knew who are liberty and freedom minded, they would move there for a job.
Okay.
You won't get people to move there on the hope that maybe they'll be able to earn a living after they move.
Okay, I can see that. I totally see that. Hey, we've got a caller on the line, 1-800-313-9443. Hey, let's bring on Earl. Let's see what he has to say today. Hello, Earl.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. When I was in the Marine Corps in boot camp, and after we started getting our act together, we finally got a very high compliment by our SDI. Which the word was outstanding. I don't use this word lightly. Your program this morning, gentlemen, is outstanding. And that's all I have to say. And y'all have a good day.
Thank you, Earl.
Wow,
Tommy, I have a question about today. I have changed my view on politics over the last couple of years to where I think guys like Doc Green becoming delegates, that maybe there's a chance that enough good people get involved and maybe you can change things back and do it with common sense and decency for all. But at the same time, I believe the fix is in, and I don't know if we can change the corruption that already exists. What do you think about that?
I think the fix is in. And one of the corrupting influences is because government is bigger than it's supposed to be, it's got its finger in things it's not supposed to be involved in. And the reason why is because there's money involved. You know, think of it this way. I'm a banker, and I spend a few million dollars getting people elected that I want to get elected so I can get billions of dollars in benefits. It's a good return on investment, and that's why they do it. And the same thing happens at the state level. You know, look at the insurance companies. Look at the Texas Association of Business. You know, why do you need to go get a state license in order to be a florist in the state of Texas?
Right. You know, that's okay. Hey, I want to bump you a different direction. Well, the same direction, just a different outcome. Now, so you say take back local, and you postulate a wonderful path and a scenario, and I do get it. That's great. What about the big turmoil that happens in our world, right? We get these shock and awe things that come down. Currently, we're watching, Britain, UK, sit there and go, we went into this agreement, and we're getting screwed. That can cause turmoil all around the globe. I mean, a financial shock that could, well, affect our nation. It will affect Texas. And when money starts collapsing, everybody gets afraid, and they jump towards somebody that has food and such. So if the economy collapses, everybody's going to be going, where are you, FEMA? And they're going to start feeding these people, and they're going to take away liberties. Or something like that. I don't know. Because it's a different scenario than what you just portrayed about how to bring Texas free.
Yeah, and so it's one of the themes in the book that I wrote is that going along with this free county project, you have their own financial institution that they call the Fredonia Transaction Company.
Okay.
And what this does is this actually puts in a sound money regime so that the people there locally stop using United States currency.
Okay. Well, that works. You know, so you have an alternative to big government. You can look to your neighbors and look to your, the rest of the people in Texas, right?
Yeah. So if you look at, you grow your own food locally, you've got a little market, you've got a sound money mechanism for building the local economy, you know, the more time you have and, you start to insulate yourself from some of the worst aspects of economic dislocation in terms of, you've got your own food supply, that's critical. With sound money, you would then have the ability to buy elsewhere as the U.S. dollar collapses because your money will then become worth more. And, of course, you essentially then become the central bankers because, you've insulated yourself from their shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that I think goes along with this is that you're actually creating your own independent existence, independent of any of the existing governments. So as things go bad and they collapse, you win because you're there, you're operating, you're providing a sound economy. And that sound economy is the basis for a very stable society.
You know, Earl, he was our previous caller, and I talked a little bit about this a while back. But what you're saying is really, really good because you can provide them an alternative when, everything hits the fan. But I don't see that in place right now, and I don't see anybody making moves. I know the corporate, Texas government, they're talking about bringing gold back to Texas and setting up just in case something like that happens. But that's still part of the United States and so forth. It's not community-based. But there's nothing out there right now, and the hour is late, right? And do we have time?
Correct. Well, we needed to get started on this some time ago. But I'm currently talking with some folks who are interested in turning this dream into reality. And I'm hoping that in, certainly before the next presidential elections for President of the United States happen, that we can at least get started on this. And, time may be short, but if we don't start now, we're going to be even later.
Tell me what that would look like. Would it be like, so there was a thing called Mountain Hours for a while, and that was a work-based type time system, right? A barter style. You know, you could have the a gold-backed, you know, something or other. You can't call it a dollar, right? You know, you get sued.
I'm looking at silver, and yeah, I'm going to call it a dollar because the idea here is to use United States silver currency. Because what that will do is that will screw over the IRS in this whole scheme.
Hang on. Quick break. We'll be right back with Tommy Attaway.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Time is short and everything's in turmoil. I have like this little scale that goes off in my head when I see things that are going on around me, and it kind of, well, it's kind of there. It's on heightened awareness moment. And I go, well, what the heck is going to happen? We've got Hillary going to be president of the United States, and that's going to, man, I hope I'm not right on that. And what else do we got? We've got the Brexit. That won't happen because they're going to steal the vote. But we've got a massive debt in America. We've got lots of problems. And we don't know where it's going to go except for the loss of liberty and whatnot. And if you're not in Texas, I understand. We're trying to prepare here in Texas. We're trying to bring freedom and liberty back. We've got Tommy Attaway from Freedom Texas, freedomtexas.org. They're a great group of individuals. Go over there, take a look, you know, meet some of these folks. And there's other groups that are looking for towards freedom and independence too. The Texas Republic, thetexasrepublic.com, the Texas National, texnet.org. They all have a different vector, different opinion, but we do need to get together and start working together and get this done. And it's now. It's the time. Tommy, I want to talk more about money if that's what you want to do, but really, this is your, you know, it's your platform today.
Okay. So one of the things that happens here in the book is that the people in this community are essentially working under what the current regime would call a gold contract. And there's a case back in Ohio 2008 at the federal appeals court level that ruled that gold contracts are illegal. And what this means is that when I execute a contract with you or anybody else, I can specify that the payment required is, say, 10 U.S. dollars in gold, which means the gold $10 U.S. coin is what you have to provide in order to satisfy your obligation under that contract. So in the book, okay, people do the same thing but with silver, so that for that $10, you have to pay me 10 U.S. minted silver dollars.
It sounds a little bit like what happened in New Orleans when Texas was, you know, first becoming a nation.
Yeah, because that's what you did then in order to ensure that the money that you were going to receive was going to be of the value that you expected as part of the contract. And the best part about this is that, okay, let's say that, Steve, you do a job for me and I pay you 10 silver U.S. dollars. When it comes to the end of the year, for tax purposes, I'm going to present to you an IRS Form 1099 that says I paid you $10.
That's funny. I like
this is
that.
Called beating them at their own game.
Wow.
So one of the things that happens in the book that starts the action is we've got a community that's very prosperous and is doing well, but nobody has enough income to be taxed for income taxes.
I believe there's a gentleman sitting in jail.
And as we say, and then the action starts.
I believe there's a gentleman sitting in jail currently that tried that with his employees. He was paying them in gold and silver, so the actual amount was very low because he was, you know, giving them, you know, the actual old value of the coin instead of paying them, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, but here's the difference. Most of those people are using 1 ounce silver tokens and not actual U.S. currency. And the difference is, you know, if I take a 1 ounce silver bar to a bank and say, you know, I'd like to exchange this for paper currency, they tell you, go away, that's not money. If I took a Morgan silver dollar into the bank and said, I want to exchange this for currency, I would get a $1 U.S. Federal Reserve note.
So it really is a dollar. How do you get that much, have that many dollars, silver dollars?
What the Fredonia Transaction Company does is that it gets into the business of essentially treating the Federal Reserve note like a foreign currency. So if you want to get a silver dollar, you've got to bring in like 14 Federal Reserve notes worth of dollars in order to get a silver dollar. And of course, like, you know, with the on the market, there's the junk silver market. And so what the transaction company does is it takes all these Federal Reserve notes that it collects, and it then buys the junk silver so that it has U.S. currency in order to form the reserves and give a value to its money.
We'll be right back. Hang on, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh. Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
For the most amazing, calming, brain-stabilizing, blood sugar, and natural addiction-breaking formula, try CalMind. Anxiety melts, panic is gone, sleep is restful, and you'll stay calm during stress. Better than booze, mind-altering drugs, or anti-anxiety, antidepressant, toxic medications, CalMind lubricates your mind so you'll sail through the day effortlessly. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com and listen to the NutriMedical Report on GCN with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, sorry about the short segments, folks. We got a lot to talk about. Tommy Attaway is our guest. He's an author, historian. Say a lot about the gentleman. His book is We Defy. So you might want to have a listen to it. I'm going to hand the reins over to Alan to, you know, steer this for a little bit because he sounded interested in the whole money-changing concept. But what is that called again? The Freeland Trading Company?
The Freedonia Trading Company. And, of course, it's kind of based on the whole Freedonia concept, which has a whole kind of historical story behind it. But the idea here is that what you're doing is that you're writing contracts in silver currency, U.S. dollars, so that they have to be valued at a U.S. dollar rather than at the value of the silver. So, for example, if you had a contract that says, you know, I will pay you 10 ounces in silver for this work, then that 10 ounces in silver is valued by the IRS at the market price of silver.
But it's also a dollar, is what you're saying.
Well, and say instead of saying, you know, how many ounces in silver, you say 10 U.S. dollars in silver.
See, I still can't connect the dots, Tommy.
Well, there's a court case, and here's the background of it.
Okay.
There was a contract that was written between two companies to where the real estate company said that the city block of Ohio that they basically rented out, the rental amount is $35,000 per year payable in gold. So what happened here, of course, is that over time, the entity that is paying the rent wants to pay $35,000 in Federal Reserve notes because, well, it's the same thing. And so, of course, it goes to court. And it's like, it's not the same thing. The contract terms are it has to be payable in gold. And so that means $35,000 of U.S. gold coins.
Minted
okay,
gold.
You're not talking about bullion coin. You're talking about actual, like, U.S. $20 gold pieces or U.S. silver
Correct.
Dollars. Or
actual U.S. $20 gold pieces.
Do they that even mint that much nowadays?
No, they don't mint them at all. And, of course, that's what the problem is for the guy who has to deliver that amount of money. Because he now has to go find, in the coin collector market, okay, $35,000 of, you know, gold, $20 gold pieces in order to meet the terms of the contract. Or...
Yes, those gold pieces, are they valued at the $20 that's printed on the coin, or are you talking about the actual market value of that $20 gold piece is what he's having
see,
to pay?
That's where it becomes a problem for the guy because he has to pay the market value of those coins in order to get the $35,000 worth of gold coins.
Right. And they're wanting for their contract, they're wanting $20,000 worth of face value of that coin.
Correct. So, see, this what this means is that the person who is the tenant now suffers a big loss every year because he has to pay, you know, the millions of dollars that property is worth, while the landowner only gets to count $35,000 in income for that property. So he gets, not only does he get a really good deal, he also gets a hell of a tax break.
Correct. Yeah.
That's interesting. So when we look at this in the book,
yeah.
How did they gather up enough U.S. currency, you know, historical, numismatic, however they call that, coins,
right.
To start trading like that? I mean,
there's a lot of junk silver on the market, so it's actually pretty easy to come up with, you know, $10,000, $50,000, $100,000 in silver worth of coinage. You know, it's there. And, of course, what they then do is because, obviously, this is extremely heavy to carry around with you all the time. They do what they did back in the 1800s. The transaction company prints its own promissory notes that you can then use, go to the company, and if you actually want the silver coin, you can then exchange the note for the coin. So the coin actually then becomes like the reserve, while the notes are then actually circulated by the people.
Junk silver. What are you talking about? Nickels and dimes and quarters?
Yeah, the dimes, quarters, half dollars. The dollars usually have a little bit more market value because they're much more desirable so that you can actually store a lot more Federal Reserve note wealth that way. But, you know, the idea here is you know, basically pretty simple. And that we're going back to the way things were done back in the 1800s where people actually didn't carry a lot of money around because it was valuable. So, you know, if we take the opening segment, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? That mercury dime that Rudy Valley is talking about in Federal Reserve note terms is worth $1.30 today.
Yeah.
Reserve notes. So once you go to that system, all of the prices for everything go down.
They definitely change.
Yeah. You know. So, you know, you can now have a meal for 25 cents.
Well, I'm
fascinated. And so you don't need all of this massive amount of currency because it's more valuable. You know, you don't need the massive amounts of money and coins because the prices are lower. They're back to their 1950 levels.
Right. And I've had this kind of discussion with people in this area that value silver and gold. And, you know, we even talked about, well, maybe we should start trading in silver and gold. And then you get to the point, well, nobody sells silver and gold out here in Fredericksburg. They buy a lot of gold and silver, but they buy it for junk prices, right? They're fleecing the economy. But you can't just, if I were to ask a customer of mine for 1 ounce of silver, they couldn't get an ounce of silver. So they'll go, well, I'll just give you 14 FRNs. And so
and of course, the problem is that if you did it for 1 ounce of silver, the value of your contract is still those 14 FRNs value. You know, if it was a silver dollar, then you could give it a $1 value. And again, the problem is right now is that the people receiving the payment are get the advantage of the system. The people paying don't right now. And that's why you need a whole economy or a local economy based on the concept so everybody can get the advantage. And this is why I go back to the idea of the employers and small businessmen doing it, because if you pay your wages in silver U.S. currency, you can then start to buy things in that silver U.S. currency or its equivalent, and the system starts to work. And, you know, that, and for the employers, the reason why it's advantageous to them is that I'm buying my raw materials in Federal Reserve note prices, so I get that as a business expense, while I'm selling the goods at the silver currency price. Therefore, mm-hmm. I'm making less money, so I'm actually either showing a tax loss or very little profit. While making
things. That's interesting. We're going to have to talk about
that. The key is to get the businessmen in on the plan, because then it starts to work.
Doc, anything?
Yeah, it's my question, Tommy, is how do you get the silver into everybody's hands in your community in We Defy? Because it's got to somehow, you got to start where people could use it at face value, where a dollar or $20 coin is $20. But how do we get it in their hands to start?
That's one of the roles that the Fredonia Transaction Company performs, because what it does is it's the bank that isn't a bank. Well, it doesn't have a bank charter. You know, it doesn't do all of that Federal Reserve stuff. It doesn't do any of that comptroller of the currency crud. So what it's actually doing is that's the mechanism by which people can pay in the Federal Reserve notes for exchange for what we call the Texas dollar, which is the equivalent value of one U.S. dollar in silver coin. And then when people need to buy things outside of the system, they get a loan from the Fredonia Transaction Company, say for 1,000 Texas dollars. Then they have the 14,000 Federal Reserve notes in order to which go buy a car. But the loan that they're getting from the transaction company is actually only $1,000, and of course they're only paying interest on that $1,000 loan, and they repay the $1,000 in actual silver coin or its equivalent, just like the modern system works. And so what you've got is you've got an insulation mechanism in order to let the people themselves only do business in that silver Texas dollar or U.S. dollar equivalent, while all of the Federal Reserve note transactions are handled by another legal entity.
I believe there was a gentleman who had a mint a while back that he was printing, he was coining his own silver coins and everything. And on that coin, he had it listed as a dollar.
And yeah, that was Von Nothaus. Yeah,
and the feds came down on him and claimed that the dollar was a trademark name that the United States mint could only use, correct? Is how he got in trouble.
What they were saying is that it could be confused with U.S. currency.
Well, what you're suggesting...
I thought there was something about the trademark of the dollar, the name of the dollar. Okay.
Well, what you're suggesting is using actual U.S. currency.
Correct.
So I guess silver is trading now somewhere around $17 an ounce, right? And then if you take
a silver U.S. dollar actually has less than 1 ounce of silver in it.
Right, it's 90%.
Okay, so let's deal with dime methodology here, right? And let's say me as an employer, I pay my, I pay you $20. That might be a hell of a lot of money. $20 a day for your wages, right? Or
maybe, that is a hell of a lot of money because that's the equivalent in Federal Reserve notes of like $280.
Yeah, in dimes, right? And so all of a sudden, in actuality, in the IRS land, I just gave you $20, you know, a whole bunch of dimes. But you could go to this fictitious thing called Fredonia Trading Company, if it existed, and say, hey, I'd like to buy some Federal Reserve notes, right? Or something like that. And then you'd trade in your real money for fake money, and you'd have your $280.
That's it. Right?
And, but I'd have to go out as the employer and buy bags and bags of junk silver and understand each one of them's value.
Or you could open an account with the Fredonia Transaction Company, and they would make those payments for you.
Well, we'd have to create the Fredonia Trading Company first, right, Tommy?
Yeah, and that's $300 in a form filed with the Secretary of State down in Austin. Big deal.
Alan.
Well, if say you're paying this your workers $20 in dimes a day, that you would have the labor coming in on you then, because that would be below what minimum wage is supposed to be paying.
That's why you use the 1099 system, so they're not employees. Everybody would be contractors. So what you as an employer need to do is you need to be able to define your labor rate so that you're paying somebody for the assembly of five widgets, and you're going to pay them their $20 for those five widgets production.
Well, you know, I guess it's something to try. You know, it's we all know that all these executive, you know, agencies that have been created and are not going to like what you're doing, and they will find some way or make some new law or regulation, rule, code, or ordinance or something that would prohibit you from trying to accomplish this mission, because they don't want to lose their control.
And that's why we have the title of the book as We Defy.
And we'll have to see how it goes. What else do we need to cover today? I know we've got a lot we can cover, Tommy, but we're running a little short on time now.
Okay, well, just the standard pitches. The Freedom Texas approach is that we're looking at how to transition from what we've currently got as a mechanism of Texas as part of a federal government to an independent republic. And so, you know, part of what we look at is, okay, what's the money system going to be? What's the economic system going to look like? What are we looking at for tax policies? You know, all of these things. So Freedom Texas really, its piece of the puzzle, if you will, is the transition plan from what people are currently living under to a Republic of Texas that is free and independent. So that's that pitch. The pitch of the book, We Defy, is a, shall we say, a prototype of how to start restoring liberty that hopefully would be a model that other people would see how well it works, and help build the public support for that, because ultimately that is important in making that transition a reality. And, you know, it unfortunately means that these things in the end are decided by uncompromising men with weaponry, and we have to be prepared to be able to defend our freedom, because one of the ancient Greek statesmen, Pericles, said, freedom is the sure possession of those alone willing to defend it.
Well, less and less people are willing to defend it, I see, nowadays. That's part of the reason I have the Texas focus. I don't think it's very easy to shift places like California or New York or Florida into a understanding of, well, personal responsibility, for lack of anything else.
Or North Carolina, like Farron Shope, just kind of had a little lesson on.
Yeah, certainly. And I think, you know, one of the things that, if as we look as a trend, and certainly with the demographics, there are other people other than us that foresee a breakup of the United States because the current trends are unsustainable as any type of country as a whole that can continue to do what it's doing. And it's a continual regression to increasing levels of tyranny.
You know, the Texas independence movement is, it's all scattered right now. And then there's a lot of people that are just sitting on the sidelines. A lot of people want to tell you they know the absolute way to go. We like to encourage everybody to come together and work together. And I know you guys do that, right?
We all share the same goals. Different groups are committed to different paths to getting there. And as Freedom Texas, we say, hey, we're behind whatever works.
That's where I am, man. That's where I am. So what do you see in 2016? Let's do that for Freedom Texas.
This year I see obviously the bread and circuses approach works extremely well. So people are focused on the presidential election, thinking that either Donald Trump is going to be the miracle man that saves everything, or, okay, if Hillary gets in, well, obviously that is going to provide more of a case for the need for more people to get behind an independent Texas, because we know it's only going to get worse and worse at a higher rate of speed than it is now. And I think the people who are delusional on the Trump support, thinking that's really going to make a difference in the long term, are going to be disappointed in 2017 if it goes that way. And, of course, if it doesn't go that way, then that's a lot of potential recruits for the need for an independent Texas. Huh. And maybe they'll actually do something about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with your thinking there. Hey, we got a short segment coming up, and we'll finish up with Tommy Attaway of Freedom Texas. Hang on, folks.
We both our best intentions. I was shy to pay attention. It's like you said, it's in my head. We can run circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on. It's you and I. What a miss it for the sun.
Extend your life.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
If your home has hard water and it's leaving white spots, then it's likely that limescale is clogging your pipes. Limescale can cost hundreds of dollars a year in wasted energy and early appliance breakdown. HydroCare systems available at Wave Home Solutions prevent and remove limescale with just a simple filter change every 3 years. There are no salts, chemicals, or magnetic coils. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, just go to bestwater123.com. That's bestwater123.com.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org 800-326-2001.
Okay, final segment. Tommy Attaway has been our guest. He's with Freedom Texas, freedomtexas.org. I'm going to hand this off to Doc to close up the last segment. Doc, take it away.
Well, Tommy, thank you very much for your book and your enthusiasm. Folks, it's We Defy, and you can get it on Amazon.com. And also, Alan, thank you very much. His book that he read from is Our Way of Life, from Philip O'Brien Montgomery III, and it is absolutely fabulous. Alan, I had one question for you. Was that your grandfather, Gustav?
Yes, Gustav Alfred Bassey, yes. Born in 1895, okay. lived to be almost 100.
Yeah, everybody in your book, Tommy, I don't know if you've seen that book yet, Our Way of Life, but it's about Giuseppe County and Fredericksburg area and the early settlement. They talk very much about bartering and helping your neighbor. What a great concept. I read the book. Usually when I read a good book, I want to see the movie. And We Defy would make a great movie. But Our Way of Life, I want to live it. That was wonderful. I was so impressed. And everybody in that book lived almost to 100 years old, except the gentleman that was the sheriff. He died at 74. There's something to living off of the land and helping your neighbors.
So, life was a little bit slower back then.
Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that is very much in the spirit of We Defy, and that's the type of country, that's the type of people that we are. And if we return to those values and those standards, you know, a lot of good things are going to happen.
Well, we thank you very much for being here. I always say there are many, many more good people than there are bad. And returning to that way of life that is in our way of life, that time period and a society like you write about and We Defy, both of those take us back to a time when your word meant something, a handshake meant something, and a neighbor didn't have to ask for help. When you saw he needed it, you were there, and bartering meant something. So we thank you very much for being here today. Alan, anything that you want to touch on the end?
Personal responsibility and common sense. You know, you just get back to that. You know, people you have to take control for, you know, and, you know, take the consequences for your own life, the actions that you do, you know, in your life. It takes personal responsibility. It takes getting out of your comfort zone a little bit, you know, and actually having to do something for yourself instead of the nanny government, the nanny state doing everything for you. So it does take a little effort, and that's what we have to, you know, get people to do, just put a little effort into it instead of just running the rat race, you know, and living in the maze. Get free again.
Freedom.
Any last words, Tommy?
Well, thank you for the opportunity, for letting me speak to a newer and wider audience for me. And, you know, I appreciate your support and all of your kind words.
We'll have you back again, I hope.
Certainly.
Okay, Doc, close us.
All right, everybody. Thank you for being with us. Alan, what were you going to say?
You want to see what happened with Farron's show. If you weren't able to stay up and listen to his show, go to the archives and listen to Farron's show from last night. It's excellent.
Farron's back, guys. Take care.
Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. us, my friends.
Hey, I'll make you a deal. Give me 60 seconds, and I'll give you directions to the Fountain of Youth. Okay, I'm joking. Well, kind of joking. No fountains, but youth, I got. Nature's Youth and their premier anti-aging product, Nature's Youth RSF. With your sensible diet and exercise plan, Nature's Youth RSF can help you look and feel better. RSF is an all-natural amino acid supplement that supports your body to naturally increase HGH levels without any synthetic hormones. And elevated HGH levels can contribute to increased energy, improved libido, reduced body fat, and improved exercise capacity. Let's be honest, who doesn't want to look and feel younger? Visit the newly designed website at naturesyouth.com or call 800-333-6923. That's 800-333-6923 and like them on Facebook and you'll be included in contests and exclusive offers. What a deal. Oh, speaking of deals, my time's about up. 800-333-6923 or naturesyouth.com. Who needs a fountain anyway? Call today.
You're listening to